We will talk about yesterday's election results in today's Big Question. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 8 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Wednesday, April 6th. We have two guests with us, two of our regular political commentators, Joe Winicky on the left, Chris Lotto on the right, to talk about yesterday's election results, where Wisconsin voters gave Ted Cruz and Bernie Sanders big wins in the presidential primaries. We'll talk about why this happened and what it means for the campaigns ahead. And we'll also talk about why Supreme Court Justice Rebecca Bradley defeated her challenger, Joe Ann Kloppenburg. And I'll ask our guests if this election was in any way considered a referendum on Governor Walker, does that mean that the majority of Wisconsinites are happy with Governor Walker? 1-800-642-1234. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Chris Lotto is a former communications director for the Republican Party of Wisconsin and a GOP campaign consultant. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Joy.
And Joe Winicky is a former state senator, former chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. Good morning, Joe.
Good morning.
So, Joe Winicky, first, in your opening statement, what was your takeaway from yesterday's vote?
It was a great win for new Kenosha Mayor John Antaramian.
Is that your takeaway, huh?
Yeah, John and I were elected to the Assembly in 1982, and we back in the days when they shared offices, my first office was with him, and he was mayor of Kenosha for years, then retired 4 years ago, came back with a resounding win. For that a boy, Johnny.
Oh, well, Chris, do you have a takeaway that's not presidential primary related? Anything from that you want a shout-out to anybody?
Yeah, that news about Ephraim. I mean, time to party, right?
Hey, they get their liquor license?
Yeah.
Right.
Ephraim is no longer going to be the only dry village or community in the state of Wisconsin. They want to drink. So, Joe Winicky, what about, let's talk, Bernie Sanders wins big over Hillary Clinton. You didn't think that was a big surprise?
No. As I saw, well, you know, I don't take as much into polling as most things, but having been very involved in Democratic politics over the last 30 years, I've seen this marked shift amongst active Democrats to the left. And Bernie Sanders fits that mode very, very well. He had, great credit to him. He had a nice victory. He won in almost all parts of the state outside of Milwaukee and a few counties in the Twin Cities media market. And it's a good win for Senator Sanders. Hats off to him. I wouldn't write the death knell of Hillary Clinton just yet.
In fact, you think that she has this wrapped up still?
Wrapped up is maybe an overstatement, but has a commanding lead and is now about to go into the Northeast and New York and Delaware and Connecticut, Maryland, Pennsylvania, all states I expect she'll win.
Yeah. Well, on the Republican side, let's ask you, Chris Lotto, about Ted Cruz winning. Why did Wisconsin dump Trump?
I think it's a host of factors. I think a lot of things came together at the right time in the sort of stop Trump movement. And, for the first time, we saw some of Trump's own vulnerabilities, things that in the past would not sink him because, you know, God knows the obituary on Donald Trump has been written over and over and over again in recent months for gaffes that probably in the grand scheme of things aren't too dissimilar from what he did here in the last couple of weeks. But this time, to keep pulling out the cliches, the chickens came home to roost. So you had, the stuff like the Twitter dust up with Ted Cruz and their wives. You had the abortion statements that he had to walk back. You had those disastrous talk radio interviews that he conducted with several hosts where he apparently had no clue where these people really stood on him. And they Charlie Sykes has been singled out, but of course there are others in the state too. They handed Donald his butt back to him, among other things. And I think too, he certainly shot himself in the foot by coming and to criticize, Scott Walker and Paul Ryan. No matter what the perception of them is statewide, certainly among the Republican base, they are loved. A number I kept hearing over and over again in recent days is among Wisconsin Republicans, Scott Walker currently enjoys 80%+ support. And as Republicans, we're passionate about the guy. We've been through a lot of battles with him. And so when some outsider comes in and says, you know, he's not doing a good job, you know, people are going to take umbrage at that. So I think all of that together worked in his favor. I still don't know if I'd be popping the champagne corks at Cruz HQ just yet, because it's not so much we love Ted Cruz as that we hate Donald Trump. I think that's kind of the key takeaway. I still don't think the party is still pretty slow to warm up to Ted Cruz. What this does in the long haul, I think, is... you know, the more likely we see a contested convention this summer, obviously the worse it's going to be for Donald Trump. It is not, that situation is not going to favor him, and they will look for, the establishment will look for really any opportunity to try and take him out. So if he can't clear it on delegates by the time he gets to convention this summer, it's going to be a real problem for him, I think.
But Chris, hasn't the establishment been trying to take out Donald Trump since day one?
They have. And I think now, you know, perhaps later than it should have, I think you're finally seeing the coordination of all these, you know, the anti-Trump PACs and everybody else finally waking up.
But for me, and I wonder what you think, there was a confluence of things that hit Wisconsin. First of all, Trump was never popular here. I never saw a poll where he was over 35%.
But there were polls that showed him in the lead, I think, as recently as a couple of weeks ago.
But at 30%.
Yeah, but...
And so the question I had is, I mean, to me, the confluence of the entire GOP establishment, and I agree with you, we shouldn't have shot after the governor, although I would have. That was a mistake, because the governor does enjoy roughly 80% support amongst Republicans. Where else in the country has every conservative talk radio host, and if you look at the votes, Trump won all in the North and West, and in the Northeast up towards the Fox Valley, it was all Cruz, which is where conservative talk radio is dominated. That hasn't happened anywhere else, and I would argue it's not going to likely happen in New York and Pennsylvania and places that are coming up either.
Well, you're right. I mean, I think there are some big states where... you know, Trump is strongly favored to win.
Right.
You know, New York, you know, Pennsylvania is another. There are others. So, well, I think that, you know, I still think, you know, last night sort of shook my. And I'm not a Trump supporter. I'm not a Cruz supporter necessarily. So I don't really have a dog in this fight right now. But I think it kind of dinged his confidence a little bit. And you kind of see where Trump sort of falls apart when he's really challenged on things. So the question becomes, beyond these states where he's looking at a victory, whether it's going to be enough to sort of at least slow him down so he can't get to that magic number come convention time.
Well,
I think that hurts.
But what does happen at the end of the day if Donald Trump, which I think is going to probably happen, he probably doesn't get to 1237, but he may get to 1150.
Mm-hmm.
How do you stop? I mean, the Republicans already have this rule. You've got to have won at least 8 states, which means there's only 2 candidates who could be the nominee unless they change the rule.
Mm-hmm.
Kasich, that's the other story. John Kasich couldn't even win Dane County.
Yeah.
And that's a state county where a moderate Republican, if John Kasich's a moderate, should have won, and he finished third.
Yeah. And is still in it because I think, I mean, you know, and he's pretty much said as much that, you know, we don't know how this thing's going to go. This whole thing has been unpredictable. Nobody predicted that Donald Trump was not only going to still be a factor, but was still going to be the front runner.
But winning one state your own and losing everywhere else in the country does not make you a nominee.
Right. Well, and that's just it. And the talk, like last hour, Joy, that you had with your previous guest, the professor, talking about the possibility of a contested convention becoming somebody that nobody's even voted for in this cycle, like a Paul Ryan, for example, or something like that. That's a trial balloon that's been floated out there. I think even Karl Rove alluded to something like that happening, but I think that would be... I don't see how that happens, and I think it would be absolutely disastrous for the party to go down that road to try and select somebody who hasn't been at the top. And as far as I'm concerned, I mean, obviously, it's Cruz or it's Trump, and it's just a question of who can pull it out. And I think that we've seen this relative lack of organization on, you know, Trump's been just sort of riding on his cult of personality and his colorful statements and the fact that the press loves him and he makes good copy. But in terms of organization, he's sorely lacking, and he's going to have to do a lot of catching up
Who would have ever guessed, Chris, a month ago even, that 83% of Republican voters would have voted for somebody named Donald Trump or Ted Cruz? It's unbelievable.
Believe me, I'm as flabbergasted as anybody.
So if it's Donald Trump or Ted Cruz, Joe Winicky, does Hillary Clinton get elected president of the United States?
Well, if I say that, every Bernie supporter in the state will want to shoot me, but half of them do already, because I've never seen such a group of people that are so dedicated to their candidate. right now, I think it is Hillary's in a very strong position to win the nomination. And I think the biggest problem that either of the two Republican candidates have is that it makes it so easy to galvanize the traditional Democratic base with minorities and women and, different various groups that make up the Democratic coalition. I don't think the Democrats would have to spend August, September, and October putting the coalition together. I think it'd already be there.
Yeah, we have just 30 seconds. Chris, I didn't give you an opportunity to react to the Democratic side of the ticket.
Yeah, and presumably we'll jump into this further because I did want to explore with Joe a little bit more because Joe's obviously been involved at the national level and seen how these things go. But it sure seems to me like I still think it's Hillary's to lose, but it sure is looking tighter. And in terms of the actual delegate count, it's closing the gap. I think there's a couple hundred delegate gap, but it's the super delegates, I think, that are the real issue here. So maybe we can dive in after
the
break.
Yeah, we will. We will dive in after news from NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio, and we'll also talk about the state Supreme Court justice race. And we will welcome questions from you at 1-800-642-1234. This is the Ideas Network. So how do you feel about yesterday's election results? That is today's big question. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We are talking with two guests, Chris Lotto and Joe Winicky, about yesterday's election results, and we're welcoming your reactions at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. You can also vote in our online poll. Every Wednesday during our big question, we post an online poll, and we did today, asking you how you feel about the election results. Are you happy about them? Are you sad about them? Are you mixed about them? What do you think? Well, let's go to the phones. As we said, we would talk more about the Democratic side of the presidential primary, and Rob in Minocqua has a question along those lines. Hi, Rob.
Hi there.
Yes, what's your point or question?
Well, my question was, your last guest that was on had said it would be sort of a scary proposition if there was a contested convention on the Republican side. And so what I'm wondering is, with Bernie sort of the surging in popularity in the last 8 contests, it looks possible that maybe he'll win, more or less the popular vote, but Clinton will still become the nominee strictly because of superdelegates. So what I'm wondering is, if that happens and the people have spoken and they want Bernie Sanders, but the superdelegates pick Clinton, is that an equally scary or disastrous proposition for the Democratic Party, at least in terms of being divisive within party members?
Well, let's let Joe go first on that.
Well, it's not based on fact. The fact is Hillary Clinton has about a 2.4 million vote lead over Bernie Sanders nationally right now. I've been a superdelegate. I've appointed superdelegates. Somehow they've gotten maligned, mostly by supporters of Senator Sanders, because most of them aren't with them. And, that's like saying you're maligning your congresspeople and your party chairs and their DNC members because they're not smart enough to get their act together. And I don't buy that. I mean, reality is that Bernie Sanders has run a very good campaign. He has raised an amazing amount of money from millions of donors. He deserves great credit for where he is. But the reality is he's down about 240 delegates in pledged delegates, which is more by about 100 than Barack Obama ever had a lead over Hillary Clinton in 2008. In the popular vote, he's down by 2.4 million votes. Amongst superdelegates, it's huge. It's like 460 or 70 to 30. And right now, it looks like it's about 1,750 to about 1,050 in total expected delegates. Now we're moving to New York and Pennsylvania and Connecticut and New Jersey and the like, and I just see, I don't see where Senator Sanders catches in the popular vote, and I don't see where he catches in the delegate vote. But more power to him for running a good campaign based on the issues, driving issues, and if he wins a bunch of states and I'm wrong, I'll vote for him.
And Chris, what your thoughts on the
day? Yeah, well, and I was curious to hear Joe's take on it because he's been involved in the process and can kind of, you know, give a clear-eyed take on it. I Sanders supporters should at the very least take solace in the fact that a straight-up socialist is doing as well as he is. And, you know, this last night I'm sure was not going to be his last win, but in the states that matter, he's, you know, Hillary's the one to beat. So it will be interesting. I think both parties are dealing with this idea that there is this buildup of sort of anger at the establishment, the resentment, and it's spilling over to the, you know, the support for Trump and the support for Bernie Sanders, that, you know, people are fed up with the choices they have, and they're looking for, you know, the quote unquote outsiders to carry the flag for them. So I think we're seeing it on both sides. I don't think that's, you know, should be any surprise. But I think that, you know, Hillary Clinton knows how to organize. I think we've heard, you know, from Joe that on the delegate level, she's good to go. So, yeah, there's probably going to be plenty of upset Sanders supporters, assuming that Hillary's the nominee. But I think they'll get over it and march in lockstep eventually because they have to.
To reinforce Chris's point, if you make an assumption, which I do, that both Ted Cruz and Donald Trump would have been considered outsiders even a week ago, and that Bernie Sanders is an outsider, and Hillary Clinton, bless her, for whatever, better or worse, is considered establishment. If you look at the counties in this state, every county in the state on the Republican side voted for the outsider, and 69 out of 72 counties on the Democratic side voted for the outsider. So if people think there's not frustration out there, they're smoking something illegal.
So, Joe, you said you would support Bernie,
sure,
if he became the nominee.
Supporting Donald Trump or Ted Cruz, trust
me. You aren't?
Me.
What do you think Bernie supporters will support Hillary?
Yes. Not everyone. It never works that way. There's always great frustration because people put so much time and passion. Say, for example, you're a diehard Bernie Sanders supporter and Hillary Clinton wins the nomination. And you gave over 10 months, you gave $25 a month every month to Bernie Sanders, and you went out knocking on doors, dropping lit, making phone calls. If your candidate doesn't win, you don't just, it's like a divorce. You don't come back to the other side the next day. It takes time. And some of those people will never come back because they're in it for the cause or the revolution, if you will. And I can tell you, virtually all Hillary Clinton supporters would support Bernie Sanders if he won the nomination, because anybody who thinks about this has to realize that if you're a Democrat or a leaner of that cause, the enemy is the other side. It's not Bernie Sanders or Hillary Clinton.
Yeah, and that's a good point. And I think, you know, when you look at the polls right now that say there's, you know, 3 out of 10 would never support the other nominee or whatever the numbers are, they kind of vary, but there's a substantial percentage. And there's a reason for that, because passions run high in these partisan
right.
primaries.
On
and
both sides.
You're wedded to your person. Yeah, this yep. is true on both sides. So, you know, they need time, you know, whoever the nominee is to, you know, kind of get over it. And those things will change. I mean, I don't think you can draw much of anything from those kind of numbers in April when we have a lot yeah. of states still to go.
We had a caller who couldn't stay with us, but he wondered if there's a chance the GOP would nominate an independent candidate at the convention. I also thought he was considering whether Donald Trump would run as an independent if he is not the GOP nominee. What do you think of
well,
that?
Well, it's fun to speculate about that. I was just talking to my wife the other night, the idea that, well, what if it's not Sanders and Trump and it's, you know, Cruz and Hillary, and what if both of those guys said, well, I saw the base of support I have out there, I'm going to run as well. I mean, it would be a fascinating race.
1860.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I don't know if that's outside the realm of possibility or not. I mean, would you know, there's this ongoing theory that maybe Donald Trump didn't really want this, and the fact that he now has to work at it is maybe a deterrent for him, you know, and it's just, you know, kind of that political spitballing out there that he just thought he could maybe coast to the nomination, and if he couldn't, he doesn't want to bother with it.
But, you know, Chris, you and I have been involved in many, many campaigns. When you're a candidate and you get into this thing and you're spending yeah. 18 to 20 hours a day, all you think
you
about is
win.
The next day, you're in to win.
Yeah, yeah.
This stuff where
true.
Trump has been doing all these things because he wants to really lose. Isn't,
yeah.
It
yeah.
just, I
or,
know
or the crazy theories that he's in it to run as a spoiler for Hillary and all this absurd, yeah, all these crazy theories.
Well, let's move on to the state Supreme Court justice race. Joe Winnicke, you first. Why did Bernie Sanders win so big and Kloppenburg lose?
Well, first of all, 52% of the people who voted last night voted in the Republican primary. That's first of all. By the way, It was a 52% Republicans voting and 48% were Democrats. Kloppenburg lost 52-48. Second, there was $3.1 million in outside spending on behalf of Justice Bradley. There was $700,000 on behalf of Judge Kloppenburg. My opinion has always been in a race where even though people got to know their name somewhat, they were virtually unknowns going into this. When you get outspent 4-1, you lose.
Why do you think Rebecca Bradley defeated Joanne Kloppenburg, Christina?
I think, you know, certainly money always plays a role when there's that independent support out there. I think there was something of a, not only the vote gap, as Joe already pointed out, but I think a bit of a passion gap as well. I think that Bradley was able to coast on the sort of, you know, the cruise effort and talk radio saying, you know, by the way, don't forget about this. I think that, and Joe made this point off the air, so I want to make sure I give credit where it's due, that a fair number of people turned out and voted presidential only, and then after that, I'm done, and they handed in their ballot. So they didn't even worry about
over 200,000 votes.
About all the other nonpartisan races, including state Supreme Court, that were on the ballot. And I think that's very real. And, you know, I mean, we've been down this road as a state with Joanne Kloppenburg before, and she lost in 2011, and she lost this year. So I think, you know, I think you combine all of that together, and I'm not too surprised by these results.
And saying that, we have a horrible state Supreme Court right now. And Judge Kloppenburg was by far a more experienced and would have been had the judicial temperament to be a good justice. But frankly, I don't think she excited anybody. And the Republican base, whether it's talk radio or money or whatever, was willing to take a chance on Rebecca Bradley even after she stumbled over and over and over. I do think if all those stumbles had been brought out 10 days or 2 weeks before the election, it might have changed things. But the attacks that happened were a month out. The Republicans forgave her. The Democrats forgot about it. And she won. I think it's a bad day for the court.
Do you think it's a good day for Governor Walker? Was this a referendum on Governor Walker?
Me?
Yeah.
From a Republican side, yes. I mean, it's a given to me that Republicans support Scott Walker. Democrats hate his guts. I mean, it's that simple. But 52% of the voters last night identified as Republicans. His candidate got 48% of the vote. Trump got exactly where I thought he was going to get, 35%. Yeah, it's a good night for Scott Walker, but I wouldn't write his comeback yet. I think he's still dead man walkering.
That's right. You predicted that last time you were on. Do you think that this was a referendum on Governor Walker, Chris Lotto, and he came out ahead?
First, assuming that Dead Man Walkering is a Joe original, I hope you've copyrighted that
I
expect to see it on bumper stickers throughout Madison.
I'm an old guy who's yesterday's news, Chris.
I think it served as a bit of a wake-up call to those who would write Scott Walker's political obituary that the support that he enjoys is still deep and he can still have an impact. So I think don't write him off just yet. I know I've heard in your news earlier today asking Scott Walker whether he's going to run for governor again. I know others in the Republican Party out there positing that he will not. I think it remains an open question. Some are saying, well, geez, palling up to Cruz because he wants to be the VP, blah, 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 blah. I mean, this is all stuff that we can speculate about all day, but we really don't know.
And he has to say he's running for a re-election. Otherwise, he'd be a lame duck
out. Yeah, exactly. You have to take that position. But I do think, I think that this shows that the power of the Walker Republican conservative machine cannot be underestimated. It's still out there. It's still alive and still viable.
All right, let's take some calls. Steve in Kenosha has been waiting. Hi, Steve.
Yeah, hello. I have a quick question. I've worked for the Sheet Metal Union in Wisconsin, and with Rebecca Bradley with the win, being that she was one of Scott Walker's like nominees, is that going to affect in any way the union situation in Wisconsin when it comes to votes, or does that have nothing to do with it whatsoever? I'll take my question off there.
All right. Well, you know about unions, Joe Winicky.
Yeah. I was a political director of a building trades union. Reality is the damage is already done. We've gutted prevailing wage laws. We've gutted right to work laws. Those are the critical two components for a person who's a sheet metal worker. Rebecca Bradley, I can guarantee, is going to vote with Scott Walker and the conservatives on everything. She's never shown anything else. But it segues into a point that's real. And this, I guess, Scott Walker deserves credit for in a bizarre way. One of the things that you used to kind of feel that in a Democratic primary, if the big unions, AFSCME, the NEA, SEIU, the construction trades, all supported one candidate, that candidate was probably going to win. All those candidates supported Hillary Clinton, but those unions don't have the clout because they don't have the money.
Chris?
I think first of all, to correct one thing that Joe said earlier.
Only one?
We actually, I know, right? It's been a very nice day today. We have a great Supreme Court right now. I think you said it was a disaster or something, and I beg to differ. But, I mean, you know, 5-5-2 conservative bent, let's say, on the high court now with her election, Rebecca Bradley's election. So, I mean, you know, you do the math. I mean, I think that that's, you know, and again, we'll see what happens if you know, Walker stays on. And we see, the Chief Justice isn't getting any younger. I mean, you know, 5-2 is a solid place to be right now. And
yes.
So, yeah, I mean, you're going to see the decisions tilt that way accordingly.
Worst court in 130 years. How long have we been a state? 160 years.
Let's take a call from Randy in Keewascom. Hello, Randy.
Hello. Thanks for taking my call. I think another thing that helped sink Joanne Kloppenburg is her openly letting Scott Ross and the garbage he put out there, you know, help her out. I mean, you know, he's the worst as far as a muckraker, and she was more than happy to let him carry water for her, and that turned a lot of people off.
Yeah. Did that turn people off that One Wisconsin Now uncovered the writings of Rebecca Bradley when she was in college that were anti-gay and such?
Well, I mean, I think, first of all, it was a negative race, and I think it was negative on both sides. And I think that, you know, there's a reason why negative ads run, because they work. But, you know, a lot of folks, when you ask them about it, will say, well, I hate those negative ads. But, Kloppenburg was, you know, first and foremost, kind of a liberal retread. So, you know, in an election cycle where you saw more interest on the Republican side than the Democrat side, again, I'm not necessarily surprised by the outcome. You know, the stuff with the letters, that stuff was alarming. It was bigoted. I think that voters had ample opportunity before the election to take a look at it and decide whether her, her writings 20 plus years ago reflect where she's at now. And clearly they made their decision, although I'm sure Joe would you know, also point again to the partisan split in the state and how the vote totals ended up. I think you always run a risk of seeing that backlash when you get into the mud. It's always a possibility.
Joe?
I never think it's mud if it's truthful. You know, negative, we always hear if you attack somebody or question them, it's negative. These were her own writings. And she's not that old, so it isn't like 40 years ago or 50 years ago. And they were horrific statements that have no place in today's society. My hat's off to Scott Ross in One Wisconsin Now for bringing this out. If they didn't, who would have? My only complaint is, Scott, I love your work. Put it out 10 days later.
We are, we'll check news from NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio, and then we'll continue talking with our two guests. Joe Winicky is former state senator, former chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, and Chris Lotto is a former communications director for the Republican Party of Wisconsin and a GOP campaign consultant. We are talking about yesterday's election results, and we welcome your thoughts during today's big question. What do you think of the election results? Did your candidates win or not? Why do you think that is? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. You can also vote in our online poll. We have posted it online. You can find that on our Facebook page or at WPR.org/joy. Wisconsin residents voted Tuesday in the Republican and Democratic presidential primaries for state Supreme Court justice and a host of local races. What describes how you feel about these results? And you can vote online in that big question. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Our post-election coverage continues this hour with our guests from different political viewpoints. We are talking with Chris Lotto and Joe Winicky, and with you too, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. What is your reaction to yesterday's election results? Of course, Wisconsin voters gave Ted Cruz a victory on the Republican side. Bernie Sanders got the nod on the Democratic side. Supreme Court Justice Rebecca Bradley defeated her challenger, Joanne Kloppenburg. What do we make of all this? What message were Wisconsin voters sending? Let's take a call now from Donna in Milwaukee. Hello, Donna.
Hi. I'm glad you're doing well today. My comment is referring to Ms. Bradley. Ms. Bradley said that she was apologizing all up and down about her writings and stuff like that. If she wanted to do better, she could have simply said, you know, I've changed my mind and I don't believe that anymore. Because now, right now, we don't know what she really believes because she didn't say she changed her mind. She just said that she's not going to go with her writing.
Hey, Donna, she did apologize and said she changed her mind and she won.
She didn't. I never really heard her say she changed her mind about it. She just kept apologizing for what she wrote when she was in college.
Yeah, she did apologize and said that she doesn't feel that way today, didn't she, Chris?
I believe she did. Yeah. And, you know, we can Monday morning quarterback this all we want.
Or Wednesday.
Yeah. Or Wednesday. Yeah. Good point. But, you know, Rebecca Bradley will take all that advice as she's walking over to her office at the High Court. I mean, you know, that's fine. And maybe she would have won by a wider margin if she'd done it more specifically, as Donna said.
I think she used the term evolved. I think her position's evolved, which is similar to that. I'm not sure I believe it, but she was coached well, and she said the right things to try and get past it. Although I've never seen a candidate for the court say such evil things and get elected until yesterday.
All right, so she said these things. She did apologize. I think I read that every newspaper in Wisconsin, every major newspaper in Wisconsin, endorsed Joanne Kloppenburg. Some exit polling even showed that Joanne Kloppenburg might have won. Why didn't she win?
Well, don't trust exit polls. I mean, it's a sampling around the state, and it's often not accurate, especially if there's a huge base turnout for a Republican in like Waukesha and Ozaukee and places like that. I mean, if there's one place where I would be wildly concerned if I was a supporter of liberal causes for judges, and I am, and that would be that I believe Bradley won Milwaukee County. And that is not good.
Well, in fact, Margie called in and said in counties where Sanders won, Bradley also won. How is that possible?
Sanders won 69 out of 72 counties. It has to be that way. Yeah. I mean, it has to be that way because of where it worked. But in Milwaukee County, Clinton won. But there was a clear disconnect between the judicial races and the presidential primary. Second, and it's sad, but in some places, like the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, deserved endorsements by newspapers, which used to move, what was the number usually, 1.5 to 2% used to mean roughly in a close race like this should have meant a difference. I don't think means squat anymore.
Yeah, I mean, I think if what you say is true, that every major newspaper endorsed Kloppenburg and Kloppenburg lost, well,
including many conservative editorial pages.
Yeah, I mean, that. What does that say? It says that those don't have the power that they once had, and even then, that power was probably minimal.
Yeah.
Todd in Milwaukee is with us now. Hello, Todd.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I got to be quick because I'm in the drive-thru.
get something for us.
McMuffins?
No, it's a Burger King.
Okay.
So an earlier caller said that the negative ads against Bradley may have helped her because mudslinging was viewed disfavorably. I wanted to bring the point out that maybe it helped her because maybe a lot of Republicans in Wisconsin agreed with some of those views. and I wanted to get the comments from your guest today. It's similar to Trump being popular so early, saying things that were not politically correct and speaking what he felt, and he obviously got some support in those views. And then I'll take your comments. Thank you.
All right, Chris.
I mean, yeah, that's a lot to bite off. I mean, it's kind of akin to, you know, exit polling and whether you believe it. And again, going back to what we were talking about earlier about whether negative ads actually work or not. I mean, and I think there's ample evidence that they do. And I think, you know, in this case, both sides went negative. And again, you know, the numbers just show that the Republicans were out in frankly, a higher number and were more engaged to vote down ballot, not just on the presidential race, where I think the Bernie Sanders contingent in Wisconsin, you know, in certain pockets, certain areas of the state, they're like, I'm here for Bernie. And then after that, you know, to Joe's point, they said, all right, hand in my ballot and I'm gone. And I think that certainly didn't help Kloppenburg. But, you know, again, we've seen Kloppenburg as a candidate before in 2011. We, you know, rejected her 4 years ago. We rejected her again. I mean, so that part of it is not particularly surprising to me.
Joe?
I generally agree. Do not discount. When I hear that the negative attacks against Bradley helped Bradley, all I can think of is that there were $700,000 in ads spread out over a state, which is a little better than a drop in a bucket for a statewide race. There were 3.1 million in negative ads against Joanne Kloppenburg. And to me, to get to the caller's point, I think there's some validity in what he just said, in that if you look at the historical record of the last 5 years under Governor Walker and the Republican legislature, where they have passed laws that have discriminated against people who are gay, lesbian, transgender, they have passed laws that I would argue are anti-woman and women's choice, that there is some empirical evidence to say that there are a lot of conservative voters who believe that garbage.
Let's go next to Dave in Mount Horeb. Hello, Dave.
I think that with regard to the Supreme Court election, it was effectively a Supreme Court election inside a Republican primary. One of the things that I heard was, well, Rebecca Bradley's been appointed by Scott Walker three times. The people that were voting were Scott Walker supporters, by and large, because they were Republicans. So it was a Supreme Court election largely inside a Republican primary. And I think that's why she won.
Do you agree, disagree, Chris?
Well, I mean, you know, look, I think you could make the case that Supreme Court races are nonpartisan in name only at this point, and it's pretty clear the battle lines that are being drawn in all of these races is it's pretty clearly a Republican or conservative versus Democrat liberal, and I don't think this was an exception to that.
And shame on Democrats if they allowed the Republicans to outvote them. You know, I mean, the total vote was 52% of the public identified as Republican and 48% identified as Democrats. And the only reason I say that is I totaled up the Clinton-Sanders votes and then I totaled up the Bradley-Kloppenburg votes when I'm doing my insomnia at 3 in the morning. And that was the numbers. So, and that was the numbers of the Kloppenburg-Bradley total. So, yeah, Chris is right. But, you know, instead of saying it's a Republican primary, I mean, a million people voted on the Democratic side, a million people voted on the Republican side. Shame on the Democrats for not coming out. Shame on the Democrats for not putting a more aggressive effort to help Judge Kloppenburg win, because, you know, we're above being involved in judicial politics because they're supposed to be neutral. Republicans haven't got that message.
You're saying that the Democratic Party of Wisconsin should have been more actively involved in getting Kloppenburg voters out.
Well, being a former chair of the party, I know its limitations. That's all I'll say.
You know, there have been a few hints here and there that, like with Margie wondering how, you know, a Democratic presidential candidate could win a county, but the conservative judicial candidate also wins the county. There's some hints that there's some hanky panky going on. There's no election fraud going on here, is there?
The only fraud I would argue, and it's not fraud, it's just outrageous, is all this voter ID stuff aimed at suppressing votes.
See,
Chris and I are going to
disagree. Just gonna say, yeah, I was just going to say we've got voter ID now, so it's all good.
did the voter ID law play a role in yesterday's election at all?
I mean, in my little voting district in the lovely town of Exonia, there was a pretty long line at night, about a half hour before the polls closed, which I would attribute to. Yeah, I think so. I mean, there may have been some issues with that, but I mean, you know, listening to the news this morning, and Joy, you haven't brought it up, so it sounds like everything overall, you know, little pockets of, hey, I had to wait too longer. But other than that, I think I didn't hear of any, like, widespread issues with this. So I think, you know, whatever flaws, not flaws, but whatever challenges in ramping up this new system, local clerks may have had to deal with.
One caveat.
Yeah.
We don't know how many people didn't vote because they didn't have, you know, they looked at their driver's license and it's the wrong address. Or, you know, you got to go through, I got to get a provisional ballot and I got to go find a birth certificate. I mean, you know, and so I think there is some drop off. And that drop off was aimed at keeping minorities and students from voting. And that hurts the Democrats, but there's no empirical evidence to prove it.
Well, let's wrap up with, here we have Christina on Twitter who says, I voted Bernie, and even if he can't make it, I hope Hillary is listening. Tired of not being heard by the likes of Walker. All right, thanks, Christina. Danielle on Twitter says, no one actually wants Cruz to be the nominee. We're hoping for a contested convention. Hashtag contested convention. Chris?
Well, I wouldn't say no one. I mean, clearly some folks yesterday voted for him, and I don't think it was all just denying Trump, although, I again, as I said earlier, I think overall we saw the anti-Trump movement come together, and Cruz was able to ride that wave. You know, no secret that Cruz is not necessarily well-liked among his colleagues. I think that, you know, talking about this race a couple months ago, I think a lot of people would be surprised that the two left standing really are effectively Trump and Cruz. So, you know, it'll be interesting. But I think, again, you know, the Republican Party mucks with these results at their peril come convention time.
Absolutely.
If it is contested. I think you've got Trump, you got Cruz, and you got to figure out how to make it work.
Quick point, the people who are going to be pushing the hardest for a contested convention are going to be NBC, ABC, CBS, and CNN. Because their advertising revenue will go through the roof. And because there is no fairness anymore in media, they'll probably be pushing for it.
Well, much like Trump has made good copy for months now.
Yes.
I mean, you know, an intra-party fight will be fun to watch, and everybody's going to get out the popcorn and watch that battle.
Well, it has been
watch.
It has been fun to watch.
There you go. We got Joe.
You two have been fun to listen to. Thank you both very much for being here.
Thank you.
Chris Lotto, former communications director for the Republican Party of Wisconsin, a GOP campaign consultant, and Joe Winicky, a former state senator, former chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. Thanks to Bill Martins for producing this program. Thanks to Elizabeth Deliquest for on-air production. And thanks to Christy Taylor and to Brianne Chasso for on-air direction. Thank you for listening. I hope you stay tuned. There's much more to come. And I hope you vote in our Big Question online poll. You can find our online poll on election results at WPR.org/joy. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.